Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to strap our boots on. This is the perfect day to die. Wipe the blood out of our eyes. In this life, there's no surrender. There's nothing left for us to do. Find the strength to see this through. We are the ones who will never be broken. With our final breath, we'll fight to the death. We are soldiers, we are soldiers.
Logic political talk, part of the growing conservative conversation, and also part of the Journalist Patriots Net or Patriot Journalist Network. You've probably come here through a link, but there's other ways to find this show, and that, of course, is through Bard's, not Bard's Logic, but that's true too, but by Blog Talk Radio and going into their conservative politics. And then you could also find it through a Facebook app for all the Facebook users. And you just go into there and you put Newtnow, N-E-W-T-N-O-W, and you will see this show as well as Charlotte Dively's show, Pray USA. And you also see Samuel Sanford's show, which is Constitutional Conservatives Unite. and you will find Mark Prasik's live video chat. And that is also, you will find the Text and Rec show. The times are a little fluctuating right now because of the convention and the coverage, but those will settle out again next week. And so tonight we are going to do more coverage of the Republican convention, and we will have updates of the day's events if people would like to chime in and tell us what we heard, because of course, as every night, callers and chat participation is welcome if they have any up-to-the-minute developments of the 2012 Republican convention. And we will also discuss tonight what the RNC did to the Ron Paul delegates and what is next for conservatives and libertarians, and with a discussion of the possibility of a third party. Now, we're looking at Gingrich, Palin, Paul, and West supporters, along with the Libertarian, Conservative, Transformation, and Constitution parties uniting in common goal to defeat Barack Obama in November. And also because they cannot support Mitt Romney because, one, they don't believe that he can beat Obama, even with the support of all of the conservatives and libertarians, because the independents just will not beat him. And we really have to defeat Barack Obama in November. So, of course, as most nights, we'll also have debate and commentary and analysis that you will not hear by most of the mainstream media and the so-called conservative media. And so that's where we go tonight. Now, I got a lot of information this evening from Chris Shipler, and he was a great contribution to the material that we have tonight. You know, he gave me a lot of materials that I was able to use to get the audio for you folks tonight. I really thank him for that. So also for the articles as well. And I believe the gentleman I just spoke of is on the line. And without further ado, I will let Chris in, and then as people file in, we will play the audio clips and get to the articles that I just mentioned. So at this time, I will let in Chris. Hello, Chris. Hey, thank you for calling.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good. Good. How are you?
Great.
Great. Well, thanks for coming to the show, and thanks again for the materials that you gave us today, so we could cover what we wanted to look at tonight with the treatment of Ron Paul and the discussion of trying to get some people together that might not normally get together. But I think a comment that I want to make, that you made a very good point in the Samuel Sanford show that we just came from, is that you mentioned the grassroots and how the establishment and the RINOs and the Republican Party, as well as the Democrats. But right now, you know, we've seen evidence more recently from the Republican Party on how they're trying to destroy the grass movements and movement in order for the elites to have all of the control. And I think that could be a common cause. I think to keep the grassroots alive could very well be that common cause that can bind all the West and the Palin and the Paul supporters together, and the Gingrich, of course, and the Gingrich supporters, which I'm a Gingrich supporter, as well as the Libertarians, Transformation, Constitution, American parties. Well, you know, all those fractured groups, I think keeping the grassroots movements alive, I think would be a common cause they all could adhere to in order to try to defeat Barack Obama and in another sense, Romney and the RNC and the Republican Party for the power grab that they did. And that's what I got to say on that as an opening. So go ahead, Chris. Thank you.
No, you nailed it. You know, you absolutely nailed it. And that's something that we've had this conversation off and on in bits and pieces, you and I, you know, one-on-one with the phone. It's what my whole group site is about, on the radio shows, you know, and it's important. Conservatives lost in this primary. You know, I know that we don't want to consider ourselves losers, but we just lost, okay? And we lost because we beat ourselves. And just like some of the comments, you know, I don't want to criticize anybody, but people were going at each other. Oh, you know, Paul is this, and Newt is that, Newt's a neocon, and, And, you know, Paul smeared nude, and here we go again. You know, keep it up. And Romney and Obama and you know, their groups, they're just sitting at the top of the pile laughing their butts off while we kick each other's butts for them. And that is that, you know, when I built my group a couple months ago, that was the whole thing. I said, you know what, guys, don't even join if you're going to attack other people in the Republican Party, because I want to find a way to unify people. You know, and I lose friends over it, and whatever. You know, if people want to hate each other until we're one party socialist party of America, keep it up. You know, that's my attitude. But I have on a lighter note, just you were talking about the way the Pauls were treated. So after they kicked the crap out of Menard in the convention, after they unseated their delegates, I just posted a link. Some people have seen it, but it was as Maine goes, so goes the nation. It was a chant that went on for, I don't know how long. I finally had to shut it off because I wanted to get on the show. But they were doing a protest inside the RNC, and obviously they were probably Ron Paul delegates and other people who believed what the RNC was doing to the Paul delegates in Maine was wrong. And so it was this constant chant. And, of course, the news didn't cover any of this, but just stick around. These Ron Paul kids, man, they must wear, like I said last night, they must wear cameras in their forehead, because all the crap the RNC did, it's going to be all over the Internet real soon, and we need to make sure that we're part of getting it out there. I'm doing the best I can as a Newt guy. But on the way out the airport, Ron Paul and his wife, you know, after they just basically 30 years of service to his country, the only guy that's made it to the end to battle against the machine, the Romney-Obama machine. I'm no longer going to call it the Romney-RNC machine, because I believe they're working together to destroy God-fearing conservatives. I really do. You heard me say that on the last program. But on the way out, the TSA has to hassle them. And you tell me that wasn't planned. And I posted mm-hmm. that article. So, you know, insult to injury. I mean, Ron Paul was not my guy, but I've learned to love this guy through this convention, you know, through this primary. You know why? Because he fought and he fought and he fought and he didn't suspend and he fought and
That's
he's been
true.
Criticized and lied about. His delegates fought. They started at the local level, the county level, the state level. They paid money they didn't have. A lot of these people were so broke they had to pool in vans. I used to see going to the convention, vans are broken down, and you'd be on the Ron Paul site, and people racing there with their cars to rescue them. These guys fought, and they didn't give up. And if there's anything I respect, I may not agree on all his policies. I don't agree on all of Newt's policies, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? But they fought, and that deserves. If we unify, if we find a way to get past our, I don't know if this is the right word, bigotry, might be the right word. I don't know. Our differences, and we work together, we will win. Because I think we are under the same battle. I think the war is the elites in the Republican Party are no different than Obama. I bet you money they're working together to destroy the conservatives, Christians, libertarians, and Tea Party people. My opinion. Sorry, Robert. I was on a rant.
No, that's okay. Then that's quite all right. And, you know, because there's definitely I think that definitely resonates with a lot of people, and, you know, so a lot of people, you know, agree with that. And so we do have someone on the line on 352. I'd like to have them chime in. And I did speak with someone today, and there's a party out there that I'm not very familiar with, and this may be someone from that. But there's a party out there that I'm not very familiar with, and I'd like to get information about, you know, all the different parties out there, and it's the American Party. And I have to admit that I do not know much about that party. And then someone said, well, maybe someone from there will be calling in tonight.
Did you shut off your phone again? What happened? Did he shut off his phone?
that fixed the problem. Thank you very much for your patience. I don't know what's going on, but this is why I think Blog Talk Radio should allow us to use microphones. And maybe I'm just need to be more technologically savvy. But I hope you enjoyed the music that I had for you. And I'm back, and I'm going to open up all the mics according to how long people were waiting. And once again, let me thank you very, very much for sticking with me, folks. I really appreciate that. But as I said, I really hope you enjoyed the music. And that music was by Aubrey Ashburn. And just to give her some kudos, it's just www.aubreyashburn.com. And then you can hear more of her music there and maybe even order a CD or something, but I really enjoy the music. But I'm going to go ahead and first on hold, you have you, Chris. And then I have 8-4. There was someone else who called, but I guess they hung up. I hope they call back with the area code. But 843, your mic is open. Just tell me what's on your mind. 843. Oh, no, 843 just hung up. Well, 843, if you're out there and you're listening to the show via the chat or on your radio or what have you, or not radio, but internet, please feel free to call back. And so the next person on hold was 352. So 352, I'm going to open up your mic, and welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah. This is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Mark.
How are you?
Oh, just fine, just fine. Down here in Florida land, but big supporter, believer in a lot of everything you've said. America's Party.
Very. Oh, you're from the America's Party. Great.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, someone said that someone from there who's knowledgeable of the America's Party would call in tonight. And what I'm going to do now is, because I'd like you to tell me more about the party because I really don't know much about it. I'm going to open up the other two mics if people are on hold, or the other one person, 712, I'm about to let you in, but for you could chime in later if you'd like. But please give the gentleman from the America's Party the floor.
Can you give us a URL real quick so we can read as you're talking?
To your website. Do you have a website people can look at?
Go to selfgovernment.us or go to tomhopeling.com. That's TOMHOEFLING. Like my brother Tom, fling a hoe at me. Tom Hopeling.
Self-government. No. I'll put the link in there right now.
Great.
It's
thank you, Chris. I appreciate
US
it.
Or TomHopeling.com. Let me add real quickly that I am in the process at this moment of getting hold of the vice presidential candidate with America's Party, who has let me know he's available to call in to your show as well. So that's if I can work that out for you.
Great. Yeah, I definitely would be interested in hearing you guys talk about the party.
Hi, gentlemen.
Hello, how are you?
Good. This is Tom Hopeling. I'm the chairman of America's Party and also the 2012 nominee for America's Party for president.
Okay, and you're 712?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great.
Can you spell your last name again? I'm sorry.
My name is Tom Hopeling, HOEFLING.
Okay, I got it. Okay, thank you.
Our friend Holly Hansard in California just sent me an email and said you folks were having an interesting discussion and asked me to call in, so I thought I'd do that tonight.
Great.
Give us your life. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Robert. Your show.
No, I was just going to say go ahead and that's okay, Chris. You know that. as I said, we're looking at third parties because we're not happy with either one of the two. I certainly wouldn't vote for Barack Obama. And after the Republican Party pretty much killed their party yesterday by the nomination of Mitt Romney, we're looking for alternatives on, who we can vote for. We really like to beat both of those people because we don't think either one of them would be good for the country.
Well, let me remind your listeners that, you know, the original founder of the Tea Party was a man by the name of Samuel Adams.
Yep.
And he said, we don't need a majority to prevail. We simply need an irate, tireless minority keen to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. And in fact, in a three-way race, it's technically exactly right. We do not need a majority to prevail. Our ticket will be on the ballot in places like California and Florida. In those states, we do not need a majority of the voters. We need a plurality. We need one more vote than any other candidate, and we will win that state's electoral votes. So, you know, with America's Party, we rethought. Well, I need to back up for a moment. I was a 2-decade-long activist in the Republican Party. I was a member of my state Republican committee a long time ago. Worked on campaigns at all levels in all parts of the country for years. you know, we decided the Republican Party was dead when they nominated John Judas McCain. it was at that point that we founded America's Party, and we decided we were going to strip the idea of a political party down to its bare essence. Its platform, which you'll find at the URL that Mark gave you. Yep. Thank you, Mark.
It's on in the posted.
Self-government.us, our platform is there. Anyway, we stripped the idea of a political party down to the core American principles that platform represents and the means to enforce it within a party. In other words, to make sure that all leaders at all levels throughout our party are accountable to those principles and to we the people. And so we've created a different kind of party, one in which we don't really care about party. We care about principle. We endorse solely on those principles, not on something so meaningless as party labels. In fact, you know, most of the people we've gotten elected so far have had an R by their name on the ballot, which is fine. We don't care. I said for a long time, I don't care if the Republican Party survives or dies. It doesn't matter to me. All that matters to me is whether this republic survives or dies. So that's a brief summation of America's Party, which is completely different than any other party that anybody has ever seen in this country.
Can I ask you a question? Because I wrote a couple articles on third party, you know, talking about a third party, heck, back in the beginning of the year when I saw what was going on. A couple key questions. One, from a strategical standpoint, obviously we're at a place in our country today we haven't been at for a long time. We've had conflicts like this before, but we also have a lot more dynamics going on, you know, with the threats across the world, the global, you know, we're tied into the world globally, we're off the gold standard, you know, all this stuff. What does it take? Because you got the America's Party, you have the Constitutional Party, you have the Conservative Party, you have the Libertarian Party, all these what people would call the fringe parties. I don't mean that disrespectfully. I'm just talking. Okay, how do we win? Because, you know, it's like the other question I just typed it into the. If you look at the bottom of the screen, there's a chat down there. You know, like how many states are you on? What does it take to get a party on all 50 states and to build that coalition? This stuff can't be easy, especially going up against the machine of the Dem GOP.
It's not easy. First of all, you got to remember, we're people who've dealt with this in the past. We've gotten candidates on the ballot across the country, so we were quite familiar with the actual process. You'd be amazed how few people actually understand how the process works. And frankly, what we're confronted with when we try and figure out how to win, how to overcome what we're up against, we're up against a rigged game. The two so-called major parties, which are now the two socialist parties in this country, by the way.
Yep, mm-hmm. I agree.
They've rigged the game. So you have to figure out how to unrig it. And that's what we've been doing. And we've totally rethought the way you approach this. We are not, let me give you a couple of the very unusual ways we're dealing with it. First of all, we're up against, and speaking specifically of the formerly grand old party, this is a party, and both parties are completely controlled by the money and the media. Now, if we try and play their game, we're going to lose. There's just no way around it. We're going to lose. We cannot raise the $1 billion it would take to compete with them in the same old way, trying to. And do you think that the mainstream media is going to give us the time of day, or if they even did, if they would in any way treat us fairly or tell the truth about what we're actually trying to get across?
No, look what they did to Ron Paul, and he has millions of supporters across the country, and he's ranked twice, and they wouldn't even give him the time of day.
Hey, gentlemen, I apologize for interrupting, but I do have another caller who'd like to come in, and I'd like to open up their mic, and then 571, I'm about to let you in. However, after I let you in, if you'd like the gentleman from the American Party finishes his thoughts, and then if you have any questions or comments, feel free to chime in, but please leave the floor to the American Party guy, and then we'll go from there. Is that good, gentlemen? So 571, I'm letting you in. Oh, opening your mic is what I mean. 571.
Hey, Robert, it's Rex.
Oh, hey, great, Rex. Great. Yeah, we've got a gentleman here from the American Party. Is telling us about it, and if anyone's got any questions afterwards, I'm guessing that I can't speak to the man, that he'd be open for questions. He's been taking Chris's, so go ahead, sir.
Okay, this is Tom Holstein again. I'm trying to get across how we're trying to unrig the game, and we're not going to do it with money, and we're not going to do it with the media. In the first place, we decided we are the media. The founders of this country, the men who won our independence from Great Britain, they did that communications-wise with handwritten letters and men delivering those letters on horseback. We have Blog Talk Radio. We have Talk Show Radio. We have free web video. We have free conference lines. We have free email. We have free websites. We have cell phones. We've got computers and modems. I think that we the people can communicate with one another, okay? So we don't need the media. We're bypassing them. We're cutting them out of the equation. Doesn't mean we ignore them. I mean, if one of them comes up and stuck a mic in my face right now, I talk to them just like anybody else. But I'm going to give them the same consideration I give, you know, Joe Sixpack.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the money, we also don't need money. In fact, if you go to TomHolfling.com right now, or you go to the America's Party site, selfgovernment.us, you'll find we don't take donations. Now, I'm pausing for a moment to let that sink in.
Sure.
Okay, we do not want to be owned by anybody. I am on my front porch in my home state of Iowa. I'm pacing back and forth on my front porch on a beautiful evening here in late August. I would remind everyone there was a day in this country when that's how presidential campaigns were run. Folks like William McKinley. William McKinley never left his front porch in 1896. Other people went out, campaigned, and elected him. He gave his final front porch address from the steps of the Capitol as he was sworn into office. So we're assuring that if we win, we will have won right. In other words, the people will have done it. Not money, not manipulation, not 30-second attack ads designed to manipulate you and treat you like they're trying to sell you a box of soap. Now, when it comes to unrigging the game ballot-wise, you've had other parties out there for decades, and I'll use the Constitution. The Constitution Party is a prime example. They started the Constitution Party as the U.S. Taxpayers Party back in 1992. They have played the game. They've tried to basically, and, you know, I hope my friends in the Constitution Party will forgive me, but they've tried to create another party like the other two parties, and they've gotten absolutely nowhere. They have elected no one in 20 years. No one. So we decided we don't want to play the game by the old rules. We're making new rules. and we know the process well enough to know how to do it. We've created what we call a meta party. We can run our candidates on any ballot we want. We can run them as Republicans. We could run them as Democrats if we wanted. We can run them as a Constitution Party. We can run them in California. We're running candidates as American Independent Party. In fact, I will be on the ballot for president on the American Independent Party ballot in California, for example. In Florida.
How do you pull that? I'm sorry, let me ask you that before you go on. How do you do that with all the legal ramifications? How do you slip that?
Well, you do it by educating yourself. Remember, we don't have any national elections in this country because we have an electoral college system. We have 50 statewide elections for president. We have 50 different sets of rules that have built up over the years. You've got to learn the rules in each particular state, and you've got to craft a strategy that's crafted just for that state. And we've chosen to craft our strategy state by state in such a way as to not get nailed down by the FEC, you know, not become captive to the state governments. We've kept our party free of that. In fact, in many places, we're not officially recognized, and frankly, we don't want to be. We don't want to. Mostly you come under their thumb as soon as you start raising and expending money, because most of the campaign rules have to do with that.
Yeah.
Our national party,
control.
America's party, is registered with the FEC. We make our reports quarterly, but it's zeros. We have to do that because of certain state requirements. Our national presidential campaign, we're not even filed with the FEC because we have no obligation to be filed with the FEC because we are not raising or expending money. So we don't even, as soon as we started raising and expending money, we would have to hire lawyers and accountants. Some of those folks get, you know, $300-$400 an hour for their efforts. We would have to start raising money just simply for compliance costs and things like that.
Right.
So what I'm telling you is we've looked very closely at the system. We know it, and we're trying to unrig it. Now, the last thing that we're having to use in order to prevent becoming captive is, in many states, we're running a writing campaign. And, we're going to make it possible here by the time we're done for the voters representing, you know, somewhere between 80 and 90% of the electors to vote for our ticket. And we will have done that on a completely volunteer grassroots basis without the expenditure of any money, without any staff, without any political hacks, any consultants, without the approval or the disapproval of the mainstream media, and without us owing any allegiance to the big-time, corrupt, unprincipled money bags.
So what happens if you help somebody get on a ballot and they end up under this party or that party, or like you were saying, you know, you have people that you support that end up, you know, that end up in positions on multiple parties, and now they're inside that corrupt system. Are you dealing with a leaky sieve there, or are you actually building something that will someday really make an impact difference? You see what I'm getting at?
There's an old quote from Archimedes, the ancient Greek philosopher, and he said, "Give me a place to stand and a long enough lever, and I can move the world."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to use my home state legislative district for my example because it's one of the best examples I have. Several years ago, we have twice weekly national conference calls, America's Summit, Restore the Republic calls. A gentleman came on our calls, and he was from right up the road from me here in Iowa. His name was Tom Shaw. And he was fed up like the rest of us. He was irate like the rest of us at what was going on, not just in Washington, but in our state capital. And he came on our calls, and we started talking, and he was fixing to run as an independent for the state legislature. And he was out there working already. He had boots on the ground working hard. But he ended up deciding that he had an opportunity to go ahead and get in the Republican primary, which he did with our help. And he was up against the Republican liberal who didn't want to talk about abortion or guns or any moral issues whatsoever, ran away from those things. And anyway, he thumped him in the primary, and he went on and won a seat that had been held for two decades by the Democrats, by the way. Tom Shaw ended up winning that seat by a 2-1 margin. He went down in his first two sessions in the legislature with an R by his name as part of the Republican caucus, but on a principled basis, refusing to back up or back down on the defense of our God-given unalienable rights, for example, our right to keep and bear arms, the rights of the unborn. He did not back up. And that one man, you would not believe. You have to have really looked closely at what he's accomplished in a couple short years. He's the best legislator we have. He's the most influential. He's the leader of the conservative movement already in this state by virtue of his unswerving principled stance, which he won't compromise. And by the way, he's virtually won re-election now. The Republican establishment, who hate his guts, ran somebody in the primary against him, and Tom promptly thumped him. And the Democrats aren't even stupid enough to run anybody against him in the general election. Tom has pretty much won re-election already.
Real quick, guys, I have someone on the line who's waiting to get in, and that is, of course, someone who does me no introduction, but that is Samuel Samford, and I'm sure everyone knows who he is. And we'll let him in. And hello, Samuel,
hey.
How are you tonight?
Oh, we're doing good. We're broadcasting
live from
We're broadcasting live from somewhere undisclosed location in Tampa.
Right, and I don't know if you just came in on the show or not, Samuel. We've got a couple of gentlemen from the, and one of them is the chairperson, I believe, or the chairman of the American Party.
Okay.
Actually,
yeah,
I got to correct that. It's America's Party.
America's Party. I apologize. Well, I'm going to write that down.
So let me ask you this question. Let me ask you this question that otherwise I'll lose it.
Our country has been hijacked by the RNC. They broke every rule in the book, and they nullified a lot of delegates. And do you think I'm going to sit down and shut up? Hell no, I'm not. That's the reason we have to take third parties, and we got to unify to force an election. Because Mitt Romney is a setup to get Barack Obama reelected. Plain and simple. How can we take this crap? Are you with me, the America's Party?
Yeah, can I address that?
Yes, you can. Please feel free.
Okay, Mitt Romney is the, you know, we're in an election here. I call it a Seinfeld election. If all you think that this election is Obama and Romney, it's a Seinfeld election. It's a show about nothing.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'll agree. I mean, it's to reelect Barack Obama.
That may well be. I don't have a crystal ball, and I'm not a prophet, so I can't tell you who may or may not win this election. I'm also not a political bookie. I make my decisions based on what I believe to be right and wrong, okay? And I can tell you, but I can tell you, as someone who's been involved in campaigns for decades at all levels, including running presidential campaigns, that Barack Obama is the worst incumbent president ever for the Democrats. Mitt Romney is the worst Republican nominee in history by far.
Amen.
This is a man whose own supporters can't stand him. They have to preface every comment in order to maintain any credibility and pass the laugh test. They have to say, yeah, I know he stinks, but. You know,
yes,
stinky
but.
Well, let me ask you a question. What does the America's Party platform stand for?
We stand for the principles of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator.
Okay, I'm familiar with that. I mean, I'm talking about a.
No,
are you pro-life? Are you pro?
Well, if you believe in those words that I just said, you have to be pro-life first and foremost. and you have to stand
okay, well,
for
I'm
each,
asking your
yes,
Second
okay,
Amendment
let me,
rights.
Let me put it in the kind of bullet points that obviously you're looking for. We are absolutely pro-life. We are pro-liberty. We're pro-national sovereignty. We're pro-border security. We're in favor of national independence in terms of our resources. We are a Reagan peace through strength party in that we believe that this country does have a moral role in the world, and that in order for us to maintain our own security, we do have responsibilities in the world according to our treaties. So we're not an isolationist party, but yet we stand without any wavering for our national sovereignty. And you know, we're not.
Okay, well, I'm right there with you, brother. I'm right there with you.
We believe our platform represents not just the majority of conservatives, right up the line, but the majority of the American people. Our platform has been in place more or less intact for almost 5 years now, and no one has successfully challenged our platform. As I said a few minutes ago, even Mitt Romney's supporters admit he's a lying socialist. Even my enemies admit that I'm a consistent conservative. And so our platform is solid. It represents mainstream conservatism right up the line. And, you know, we have a record to prove that we don't back down or back up on these things. We don't equivocate. We're not a bunch of lying sophists like the Romney Republicans. We tell it like it is.
Well, I am not either, and Robert will verify that. I mean, I've been telling it like it was since the middle of February when I first started my radio show. And I will not shut up, and I'm not going to back down. I'm pissed off. The Republican Party didn't. I did not leave the Republican Party, as Tex and Rex have said. The Republican Party has left me.
Yeah, I see Tex and Rex in the switchboard. Did their calls get dropped, or because I don't see them in there any longer?
I'm not sure. They're in another part of the house right now.
Oh, okay.
But, I mean, I will tell them you would like them to call back in once I get off.
If they'd like
to get off,
you know, if they're not, I don't know what they've got going on. If they'd like to call in, fine. If not, that, you know, I don't know what, you know, as I said, we had some troubles earlier. I didn't know whether it's the same as the trouble that I had earlier with calling in, but the other people, I don't think they had any trouble. It might have just been something with my phone, so.
Yeah. Now, we had an awesome, and thank you, Robert, for calling in on my show tonight. We had an awesome show.
Yeah, well, I want to tell the audience, some of the new people, if you want to, you know, give a plug for your show, and then I know some of the times are going to be changing. I know starting next week, my show is going to be from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Not to 9 to 10, but 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. And the reason why I had to change that was, you know, my daughter's school's starting, and so in order to help her with her homework, I had to make the show. I had to bump it up an hour so I could help her with her homework.
Well, as of from now on, I will be doing a show tomorrow. I'm not sure if I'll be doing a show every day from now on till you know. But I will be doing a show every night, 8 p.m. every night, and that is Constitutional Patriots Unite. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I'd just like to say a couple things. Again, my name's Tom Hofling. I'm the nominee for America's Party for president. You know, if folks would like me on their shows, I'm very flexible, and I'll try and come on if I possibly can. I'd be happy to do that. You can just email me, tomhofling@gmail.com, and I'm very good about answering my correspondence as fast as I can get to it. What's that?
Well, right now, I mean, I would love to have you come on my show tomorrow night.
Okay.
It starts at 8 o'clock, but I'm out on the beach. Hold on a second. I'm out on the beach.
Hold on one second.
Is that 8 o'clock Eastern?
I'm out on the beach, so I can't. I'm not at my computer, but Robert can give you the call-in number to my show.
Okay.
I'd be
happy to do that if I can. I just wanted to say one other thing. For 5 years now, we've been getting together twice a week. We're not on Blog Talk Radio. We were at one time. We're on TalkShoe.com now.
I've heard of it.
It's free. So in any case, we have these national conference calls on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, and I'd certainly invite any of you to join us. Our main citizen news site is americaspartynews.com, and if you go there, the information about those calls is on the top right-hand corner of every page, the call-in numbers, the times. There's also links to almost 5 years of archives of those calls. And so, you know, not only as a presidential candidate, not only do you have the opportunity twice a week to talk to me and ask me anything you want, but you also have a chance to interact with our party leaders from around the country. Solid, principled, decent, patriotic Americans who've been in this fight for a long time, and just people that you need to get to know in your state, and folks from around the country. So just wanted to make that opportunity available if you want to come on and talk to us any Tuesday or Thursday.
It's awesome to talk with you and to learn about a new party that I did not know that it existed out there. And one thing about Robert is an awesome, eloquent radio host. And
no, thank you, Sam. I appreciate that.
And Robert is one. Me and him have become friends over the past, what, 6-7 months?
Yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
we're kind of like brothers. We talk almost every – today is probably the first time we have not talked on the phone.
It's been a crazy week, Sammy, hasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, yesterday we probably talked 3 or 4 times.
Oh,
I
my
ran
gosh,
my
yeah.
show.
You know, guys,
I ran
been...
my show from the downtown Tampa from 3 blocks from the convention center.
Right. We've been doing coverage from – yeah. Convention coverage from Tampa. But I think the gentleman from the America's Party, there we go, I got that right this time. You want to chime in? I heard you want to say.
Well, I just wanted to say that we've been warning people about the GOP for quite a while. And, you know, it's almost like the Romney Republicans are intent on proving our point every day. In this whole latest episode, we've been telling people, look, Mitt Romney is he's a leveraged buyout guy.
Real quick, someone put something in the chat as a Facebook page. It's not the American Party. That's not the same.
No, that's what's his name's group.
The American Party. The American Party is an old party. It's virtually defunct. We're America's party. We were originally America's independent party when we started 4 years ago. We changed the name to America's Party. In California, I'm running on the American Independent Party ticket. They nominated me here a couple weeks ago.
You know, I know there's been some talk about some of the, you know, some of the third or smaller parties, and, you know, I'm not trying to say that in any kind of, degrading way, but, you know, they aren't, I mean, the two large parties, of course, the Republican-Democrat Party, but there has been some talk about, you know, some of the parties such as the Constitution Party, your part of the America's Party, you know, Libertarian Party, a possibility of them uniting in the common cause of, maintaining, grassroots influence in the political realm, you know. Would that be something that the America's Party would be interested in looking at?
Well, I worked with a lot of Constitution Party people over the years. I was closely associated with Dr. Alan Keyes for many years. And in many of his efforts, the Constitution Party folks were right there helping. When they nominated John Judas McCain and we left the GOP, we felt it was our responsibility to try and find common cause with the Constitution Party. So 4 years ago, we tried that. It didn't work out. And we tried, but it just wouldn't work, primarily because of our differences on foreign policy. We are not isolationists, and they're a very strongly isolationist party. We're not.
Well,
But let me address the differences. Before the American Independent Party nominated me unanimously, by the way, a couple of weeks ago, I debated Virgil Goode of the Constitution Party three times. And in fact, you know, God bless him. He's a gracious gentleman. I like him. But he in the course of those debates, while he admitted that these entitlement programs like Social Security and Medicare and all these long list of entitlement programs, he admitted that they're not constitutional, and yet he defended them. So in a sense, in that sense, he's a New Deal Democrat. He's a Great Society Lyndon Johnson Democrat. I'm not. I believe we cannot put our financial house in order unless we return to only legislating in the Congress within the enumerated powers. That's the only way we can possibly ever get
like
a financial house.
You sound like a little bit of a libertarian.
No, I'm not. I'm a moral conservative. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm not a libertarian.
Libertarian, but I'm saying that platform
That platform
of saying if it isn't in the Constitution, then we don't do it. That's what I meant. I didn't mean
that's
to
not, yeah. I mean, Gary Johnson is pro-abortion. Gary Johnson in every way stands as much for the homosexual agenda as Barack Obama or Mitt Romney. So libertarianism is not the answer to this country's ills.
Right.
You know, we need to get back to understanding what liberty is the way our founders understood it, not the way, it's not license to do anything you want. It's the freedom to fulfill your God-given rights. And government has to return to doing what it's supposed to be doing, which is protecting those rights, not trying to take care of us. And not, you know, breaching the Constitution and their oaths in order to do it.
Let me ask you this question. Do you think that the Ron Paul Republican libertarians are a little bit more conservative towards the direction you were talking about than the pure Libertarian Party?
Well, I think there are millions of people who follow Ron Paul who fancy themselves constitutionalists. And I have strong disagreements on core fundamental things with Ron Paul, and I've never been shy about telling people what those differences are. He thinks if states want to legalize abortion, they can. And I say no. The Declaration of Independence principles are the foundation stones of this republic, and not only that, but abortion breaches every single stated purpose of our Constitution, and it violates its explicit requirement that equal protection be provided for every person.
Right.
So,
right.
Do I think I represent millions of the people who followed Ron Paul? I do. Do I think that they actually really understood the core things that are at issue? I think a lot of them haven't. And unfortunately, that's caused them to be led somewhat astray politically. I'm just being honest about what I think.
No, that's fine. That's cool. That's what we're here for. You know, I started investigating the Paul movement several months ago when I realized that all the conservatives were beating themselves, you know, and I saw the Paul movement continue to fight. So I wanted to do a little bit of research. I wanted to get to know, you know, who they were, what their platform was, what they stood on, because, you know, they're fighting and they fought right up till the end until they got squashed by the criminal organization, you know.
Well,
what
see,
I mean?
We already knew they would get squashed. See, we got squashed 4 years ago. Here in my home state of Iowa, we were not satisfied with anybody in the field 4 years ago, so we convinced Alan Keyes to run again. He began running in September of 2007, the same week that Thompson got in. The Republican Party here in my home state, of which I used to be a member of the committee a long time ago, they would not acknowledge that Alan Keyes was even running. They tried to keep him out of the debates. I had to threaten the Des Moines Register with a lawsuit in order to get them to keep the law. And in the end, on caucus night in 2008, they did not count our votes. My family's votes, my friends all over the state of Iowa, they didn't count our votes. And they didn't report them out, and they never did.
How do you stop that legally?
Well, we had no legal recourse. That particular election is simply a straw poll. People forget that. It's not a primary or anything like that. We had no recourse except to hit the doors, which we did.
Hold on a second, folks. I got two more people in the line. I believe that it's Tex and Rex from the Tex and Rex show are calling in. And then I'm going to let them come in and have them chime in. And then I do, speaking of that, I've got an interesting audio clip that I found today where they're talking about the different number of delegates that were given out, and Ron Paul got more delegates than Romney did in Nevada, and it seemed like it was totally ignored. So at this time, I'm going to bring in Tex and Rex, and then Sammy, I hear you want to chime in. Go ahead. After bringing
Tex
and Rex in,
I would like to chime in. I mean, we felt and we stand behind a lot of your views. I mean, this is the first thing I've ever heard about your party. And I'm sorry, but we have to take, I mean, I'm not sorry to you, but I'm sorry to the Rombots, the Democrat, a.k.a. progressives, which are the same thing as the Rombots. They are all progressives, and they were looking to get their hand in the cookie jar. And I'm pissed off about that. Get your hand out of my cookie jar, which I ain't got no cookies in there.
Well, what I was trying to get across is we've known for 4 years the Republican Party is dead. It's been completely taken over by a leveraged buyout guy. They own it. Okay. What you just saw happen in Tampa was the first board meeting of the Romney Republican Party, and they were simply asserting their controlling shares that they now own. When you look across the spectrum of so-called conservative leaders, most of those people have now been bought. They're a fully owned subsidiary of the Romney Republican Party. So that's what you saw. And we predicted this. I've been predicting this consistently. This had to happen. I'm glad to know that there are people who are paying attention who are now realizing what's upon them.
Real quick, Sammy, I just want to let Tex and Rex know that their mics are live. So,
I have been out here speaking in the wilderness for 4 years against the rhinos and against Barack Hussein Obama, the current terror sitting in the White House. Plain and simple. And if these idiots out there that think Mitt Romney can beat Barack Obama in a general election, they are lying to themselves.
Well, and that's, while I agree, as somebody who's been involved in campaigns for more than 20 years, I agree that it's unlikely that Romney can do that. Even if he can, what are you going to get? You're going to get someone whose role will be to consolidate the gains for socialism that Barack Obama has brought about.
No.
Bingo.
Well, this is how I look at it. The fix is in. The fix is in. Barack Obama got nominated, Mitt Romney got nominated, so Barack Hussein Obama could get nominated and get reelected. We don't have a two-party system anymore. We have a one-party system.
And I want to let the other two gentlemen who called in, they haven't had any time to speak yet. So I'd like to have Tex and or Rex, and I guess
hey,
you know,
Rex.
At the same time. So if one of the two gentlemen wants to start, and then the other one, and then we can get back to Chris, and then the gentleman from the America's Party, to chime back in, I think that'd be a good way to proceed. So go ahead, Tex or Rex. Thank you.
Yeah, Robert, I just want to say, you know, thanks for having people like this on, because really we need to form common cause with a lot of the smaller parties that are out there. Because the smaller parties, I think a lot of people think that, you know, they can't succeed or they can't, you know, go further. But the fact of the matter is, more and more Americans, and I think, in fact, the majority of Americans are looking for these smaller parties because the major parties have failed us, and what we need to do is form common cause among and within the smaller parties to find ways that the American Party, the Constitution Party, the Libertarian Party, and disaffected Republicans can form together and lash together a large coalition that can actually achieve victory. Okay, so there's a lot of areas of commonality from what I heard tonight, areas that we can agree on to create a new majority in this country and a new major party of this country. Because, look, the GOP came out of the Whig Party, right? The Whig Party failed for a variety of reasons, and we formed the Grand Old Party, right? Or the Republican Party, which became the GOP. But that lasted for a very long time. So if we can lash together and find commonalities among all of us, we're always going to find areas of disagreement. Don't let the areas of disagreement turn us off, but find those commonalities so that we can form a larger thing. And one of the problems with, you know, when you have competing organizations, so I don't even know how many smaller parties there are, but as far as I know, there's about five smaller parties, right? But each of them wants to be, you know, sort of king fly on their own area. But if we could find ways that they could all come together, form something, and everybody gets a role and they get a speaking part, you know, we have to make sure it's not ego-driven, but country-driven, driven around principles, because what all that matters are the principles that guide us, because the candidates are meaningless, as we're finding out, right? It doesn't matter. You know, Ron Paul is irrelevant, right? Ron Paul speaks for a movement of people that believe in the Constitution, but Ron Paul is a man, and he's not the end-all, be-all of the movement. Same thing with Newt Gingrich. I'm a Gingrich supporter, right? Newt Gingrich is a flawed person, right? But we're all flawed people. But I like Newt Gingrich because he's done it before, and he, when he was in authority, when he was Speaker of the House, he did exactly what he said he was going to do. So I believe in him because I know I can trust him, right? But it's not about Newt Gingrich. It's about someone who can balance the budget, right? It's about someone who can return us back to the Constitution. We need to not be personality-driven. We need to be principle-driven. And as long as we're principle-driven and we don't let ego get in the way, this country can succeed. We can turn the corner, and we can actually have the future that we all want to have.
And Pax, would you like to chime in on any of that? Or?
Well, I mean, I agree with what Tex just said. My question is...
Tex and Rex, I got your voices Swiss. Sorry about that, guys.
I can speak Rex, if it'll help you.
Tex speaking now. That was Rex.
Oh, okay. Good. Then I didn't. I got it right then. Go ahead.
So Robert, my question is... is the American Party on ballots in all 50 states?
This is Tom Hoefling again. Again, our party is America's party, not the American Party. The American Party is an old, defunct party, which isn't around much anymore that I'm aware of.
Yeah, their website's still out there.
But I took quite a little time a little while ago, and I don't think you guys were here yet, perhaps, to explain that we devised a means to attempt to unrig this game. And the way we've done that is we formed what we call a meta party. We make our endorsements, our political associations, based on a core set of American principles and accountability to those principles, not party labels. So we support people on all kinds of party labels. Now, having said that, you know, the presidential campaign is a special problem to deal with. We did not intend originally to run anyone because we weren't sure yet that the Republican Party was really stupid enough to run Mitt Romney, the most liberal governor in the history of the United States. But when it became apparent that they were going to go ahead and do that, that all these people had been bought and that they were going to do that, then we decided, well, even though we don't have enough people yet, we're going to go ahead and lay the groundwork. Very few people actually understand what it takes to run a presidential campaign in this country. You have 50 different sets of rules. Some states it's very easy to get on the ballot. Other states it's almost impossible. So, you know, one of the ways we're unrigging it is by accessing the write-in process. That process has evolved to the point where now, in order to be a write-in candidate, for example, those who write in Sarah Palin or somebody like that or Newt Gingrich or somebody in this election, their votes are not going to be counted.
Right.
People don't understand that. You have to actually you know, register a slate of electors. You have to file the appropriate paperwork. In some places, you have to pay a fee. Some places, you have to do this or that or the other thing. So we have direct ballot access in certain key states. I will be on the ballot in our largest electoral state, which is California. That's already decided. We will be on the ballot in Florida and Colorado. I'm working right now. I'd like to get the nomination of the Conservative Party of New York. They have a convention in about a week and a half. Those states alone represent more than a quarter of the electors.
Yes.
Right. Beyond that, we want people to come to understand. Do you know how to write? If you know how to write, you can write in my name. It's TOMHOEFLING. My running mate is Jonathan D. Ellis. It's really easy to spell. We are Americans. We can write in a name, okay? Those states where they don't allow write-in, that's un-American, and the people in those states need to rise up and force their legislators to put this process ultimately back in the hands of the American people so that they can elect anybody that they want who is constitutionally qualified.
Okay, I got a question.
Yeah.
Okay, I heard, and I haven't confirmed it in an article yet, but I heard it through one of the Paul sites, that the Romney crime machine, the Romney lawyers, are in the process right now of actually trying to unseat the Libertarian Party positions in several states. They're trying to get them off the ballot. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, they are, actually, and Pennsylvania, I know, is one of them. Yeah, of course, they're playing by the same old rules, okay? Let's quit playing by their rules.
There's actually an article that I'm going to put in the chat here for the folks here. It's from the Libertarian Party, and it just says the party of principle, and it says, the name of the article is Governor Gary Johnson could cost Romney five battleground states, 74 electoral votes needed to win in 2012.
Yeah.
And if people would like to check that out, I'm going to put that in the chat, and people can read that at their leisure. Because, I would read it now, but I believe it is it's not too long of an article, but we've got people who'd rather hear you folks talking than me reading an article. So go ahead.
Well, I got to address this because this is really important. This whole idea that a vote for one person is a vote. No, look, there's not a single ballot in the country where you're going to be able to vote against anyone. Okay? There will only be choices for who you can vote for.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole idea is a fallacy, and it's a lying tactic that they use to try and club you into submission, okay? Look, if Gary Johnson, who is pro-abortion, who's pro-homosexual agenda, et cetera, libertarian, if he represents you, vote for him. This is supposed to be representative self-government in America. If Virgil Goode and his pro-New Deal, pro-Great Society, Democrat ideas turn you on, you know, vote for him. If a Reagan teacher strength, pro-life, pro-Second Amendment, pro-border security guy like me represents you, vote for me. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And quit playing their game. They're, by getting you to play this game, they're robbing you of your most precious heritage as an American. Quit it.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You know, all of these games back and forth, you're going to cost this person. Look, I'm on the ballot in California, okay? Everybody in the Republican Party, they've already ceded California, and it's 55 electoral votes to Barack Obama. So if you want to play that game, fine. A vote for Romney in California is a vote for Obama. A vote for Tom Hoefling in California is a vote for a conservative. I'm going to be the only conservative available to vote for this year, folks. The rest
would,
some flavor of Democrat socialist.
It went Texas Rex. Would you like to chime in about that? And Texas Rex guys, as well as Sammy, they have their show. They have a show as well. If you guys want to chime in about that and about anything you say, go ahead.
I look at what they.
I
I got to be very honest with you, Robert. After doing basically 24 hours of radio in the past 3 days, I'm a little chimed out. But I want to say that the important thing here is that we're not going to stop. Now, I might need to take a break because I'm freaking tired and I'm at peace and it's really nice and I haven't been in it because I spent all week in Rince Pubis' penthouse. But I tell you, those cigars were good. But this is the important thing. This is the key thing. The majority of Americans are not part of this sycophantic single-party double-winged system, even though they happen to be in there because they're programmed. But, you know, you either go blue or you go red. That's it. There's no other option. I think options like what's going on here is what we really need to look at. The real concern is that in this limited time frame to dislodge, and let's be clear about something, Obama's not really the problem. Obama's just a douchebag who likes to play golf and run his mouth about Marxist rhetoric. He's not really the problem. The problem is the guys that bought and paid for him and put him in the White House and then bought and paid for Mitt Romney so that Obama would be reelected. That's who the problem is. If you want to take out those guys, I hate to say it, but your presidential candidate is not going to take out those guys. He can slow them down for this cycle, but he can't take them out. You've got to take them out. You've got to assert your sovereignty. So, yes, we should work to dislodge Barack Obama. I think that's very, very important because it's meaningful and we need to send a message because if this guy is going to win, and, of course, you know, the likelihood of that is pretty severe, then he needs to win with the lowest possible amount of votes ever so that he goes in there limping and delegitimized. That's the key. Now, if you want to delegitimize him, don't go out there to delegitimize him. Go out there to defeat him. And if you fail, you'll delegitimize him. So, I think that movements like this and meta parties, that's the future. The number one difficulty is that if we disperse amongst too many separate parties, then we dilute our power. And I think that the key here is about voting as a block. So the question you have to ask yourself is there a significant difference between all of these smaller constitutional parties to the point where there's an easy discernment as to which choice is better, or doesn't it make more sense to consolidate and pull in more voters? And that's just a question. I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just throwing it out there.
Good question.
I have the answer.
Go
if
ahead.
You want me to provide it.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a big difference between these parties. The Libertarian and the Constitution parties, particularly, they've been around for a long time. What have they accomplished? You know, is their way working? Why hasn't it worked for the last 20, 30 years?
Back at you, big guy. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, be flip or anything, but look, I mean, the thing is, if we all band together and we find a third party, you know, the third parties are going to have to band together to accomplish something. So, you know, I'm not trying to be flip. I know you guys are out there and you've registered and everything. You've done the work. But, you know, how are we going to succeed? We have to succeed.
Frankly, I was saying the same thing 4 years ago, so it would be kind of hard for me to get mad at you about that. But I'm just sitting here telling you from experience I tried, okay? I tried to bring these disparate people together, and it won't work. You can't focus on that. If you focus on that, you're going to do what I did, which was waste a lot of time for 4 or 5 years. I mean, go ahead and
exactly. And look, all armies are always fighting the last war. 4 years ago is 4 years ago. This year we have a Kenyan communist and a Keynesian corporatist running for president, right? And so the American people are furious, right? So this isn't 2008. This is 2012. And so the battlefield has changed, okay? Things are happening, and people are upset. Look, I am a Republican, a lifelong Republican. I actually served in Newt Gingrich's Congress. I've worked for Charles Krauthammer. I've worked for Republicans my whole life. I worked for the Republican Party of Texas, and I have never felt more disaffected from my party. And I'm not saying felt disaffected from. I feel like I'm watching my party, and it is a foreign entity, and I am looking for a place to go. And so now I'm looking at, we've got, I'll be honest, I don't want to be here. I'll tell you that right now. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be looking at the Libertarian Party, the Constitution Party, the American Party, or any of this stuff, right? But all of a sudden I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing a bunch of fractured guys who are running on ego and not on principle. So how do we run on principle? How can we get all of this stuff together? Because, look, if we get it together, forget Ross Perot's 19%. All of us together can blow that away, and we can get into the 30s, and we may be able to get a victory, okay? And so how do we do that? That's what I want to hear. What is the path to success? I don't want to hear about how it failed in the past.
It's very simple. I'll give it to you. Really straightforward and simple as you can possibly get it, okay? If a million people, 1 million people, I'm going to repeat Sam Adams' words. We do not need a majority to prevail. What we need is an irate, tireless minority keen to set brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. Give me 1 million of people who will make this simple commitment, and we will win. All they have to do is go out and
we
find
can get a million guys. I can get you a million guys.
Okay. Get a million people who still hold these truths.
But they all got to be in the same tent. That's the thing. They all got to be in the same tent.
Okay. Okay. And all they have to do, they each have to run their own campaign, okay? We don't need a centralized national campaign. We need a million front porch campaigns to save America, a million people who are dedicated for these last 70 days or whatever is left, okay, to go out and find 50 or 100 or more people, get a hold of them, drag them to the polls, and guess what? We win. It's that simple.
Let me ask you, Harold, hold on a second.
But here, hold on a second. My question is, are you on all 50 states' ballots?
No.
Otherwise, you're irrelevant.
No, and again, 99.99999% of folks out there don't even understand how our process works. I will be directly on the ballot in several key states, okay? There are several states we cannot get on the ballot. There are states like Oklahoma, for example. They've made it impossible, and they do not allow write-ins. There's a handful of states where we can. But in the majority of states, we will be running a qualified write-in campaign. What that means is
What's that mean for electoral college?
Voters representing, as long as we file all the appropriate paperwork in the next couple of weeks, voters representing 80 to 90% of the electors will be able to vote for our ticket. And we will have done that, by the way, without any party apparatus, without any employees, without any political hacks, consultants. No money, not one thin dime, has been expended on this effort so far. Okay? And won't be. This is either done by the people or it won't get done. We made that determination. If the people don't do this, it doesn't matter if we win. If the people do not physically take their government back, you were talking about personalities. Forget personalities. We need a million leaders to step forward to take our country back.
I've got another person on hold who I'd like to bring in. And 925, please come in and chime in, and then I believe Texas Rex, if they just want to listen, that's fine. People want to chime in as well. But 925, I'm going to let you in. Go ahead, and then I believe we can get Chris if he wants to make any comments, and we'll get back to the two gentlemen from America's Party. 925, thank you very much for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hey, this is Paul. How you doing, guys?
Paul. Thanks for calling.
Hey, so I've been kind of listening and multiplexing on the on the gentleman here, and I'm terrible with names until the fifth or sixth round, and I've heard it three times, so I'm sorry it hasn't been the fifth or sixth time yet.
That's okay.
I've been listening to what you've had to say, the candidate of America's Party, and obviously, again, I'm sorry with the name. Don't take that as disrespect. Take that as too much in the brain at the moment.
My name is Tom Hofling.
Tom Hofling. Okay. I've said it a couple of times now, so I'll just say Hofling. I'm hoping. Okay, I'll get it there. That's not meant with irreverence, like Tex and Rex may say it. I'm sorry.
When you have a name like Hofling, you can't get offended by people not, taking a while to figure out how to pronounce it, so don't worry about it.
Okay. So a couple of thoughts. One is I totally get the message loud and clear of if we're not going to vote for one of the two evils, what do we do? All right, and I think I always get it mixed up, Tex or Rex, but the one that was speaking there.
That was both Tex and Rex.
Okay, well, I'm in strong agreement that every war, you need to assess the battlefield and strategize accordingly. So if we go back, as was said, if we go back to the last four-year battle and we make our plans based upon that, we're not going to do so well right now. Because
yep.
right now is what is the battlefield we have in front of us. Right? We have a different set. We have a very similar conundrum, but we have a different set of tools in our arsenal to attack the problem. So the notion of having a relatively unknown way to vote, meaning a write-in candidate, and marshaling the mind share using the social media and social networks and back channel networks to get enough people to vote in a common non-major party way. If we split that across so many, it won't be heard in any way, because all it will register is a low turnout. And that's how the MSM will track to it. And then they have the ability to spin it themselves. Why? Because there's not enough votes in any one non-major party block to make a difference for them to pay attention to. So I am of a very strong mind that we need to find a way and center on a non-major party to put those, that vacuum of frustration into. So that it makes a big enough blip so that the MSMs recognize it, the back channels recognize it, and the major parties can go shit in their pants. Excuse me for the word there. But that's how I'm thinking about it right now. And I'll stop for comment.
I want to comment on one particular state in terms of what you're saying. One way that we can make a major statement at a minimum while taking out Barack Obama. Now, I'm sure most of the people on this call have dealt with this unreasonable, illogical Romney Republican way of arguing that a vote for so-and-so, anybody else is a vote for Obama, et cetera. Okay.
But we've vetted that through and hate that to the core and understand that it is a red herring.
Okay.
So we're with you on that.
Okay. In California, The Romney Republicans have already written it off, okay? So I'm the only conservative on the ballot in California. Forget the rest of the country for a moment, okay? I'm the only conservative on the ballot. Romney's already written it off. There's a huge vacuum in California. California, remember, was once Reagan country. There are more conservatives, self-identified conservatives in California to this day than there are self-identified liberals, believe it or not. This is true in all 50 states, by the way. Extensive surveys have proved it again and again and again. Okay, California is ripe for the plucking. And if we went in there or using the kind of means you're talking about, and if I won in California, while we wouldn't have solved the whole problem of winning the whole election, we would have defeated Barack Obama. And that would cause a political earthquake in this country. And guess who would have gotten credit, even if we didn't win the election, for defeating Barack Obama? Tea Party, grassroots, America's Party, principled patriots would. That's who.
I live in California. That is like in the heart and soul of I want to say in my radar, but I'm going to say in my super scope, because I want to do that. And even if something like that works out where we don't beat Obama in with the popular vote, because that's how it goes to the national for a state, right?
But
if we beat Romney,
yeah,
in California,
exactly.
That is the message. That is the message.
Now you're talking my talk, Paul. But we're both combat guys, so.
Yeah, I totally agree.
I would have said my night scope, but then, you know, that would have been a little too much, right?
We bored everybody last night when we got off into war and shit. Yeah. So I have a quick question for Tom.
I just want to sum that up. That to me, for doing that in California, given that they're not going to, the RNC is not going to spend money here, except for the obligatory ad, to say, dispel some fiction or something like that, right? That to me would be a huge, huge message
that we beat Romney in the state. And it ties in perfectly with the message that is required of California anyway, which is the state has been driven to bankruptcy by both major parties. The people in California know this. And so the message is, hey, Californians, take your state back. This is your opportunity to take your state back. If anyone thinks that our only problem is in Washington, D.C., they don't know much, because we have the exact same problems on a different scale in all 50 state capitals.
Washington,
okay,
D.C.,
ready for that question?
Washington, D.C. is like in a state of context, not in a state of a geography, so leave that alone. I don't even need to consider that place to work, even talking about.
Right, but my point is, you know, we got work to do in our own states, obviously, and we can tie these things together. I mean, because they're all part of the same thing. The solution has to come from the grassroots. It has to come from the local level. That's one of the reasons we've told people we don't want your money. It's not that we think we can win the election without money. We're just simply, don't send it to a national entity for them to then turn around and use that money to manipulate you. Use your resources to identify and turn voters out to the polls. You spend it. You're the campaign manager. You're in charge of this.
Got it.
Robert?
So what other states
like
California that the RNC has written off that are potential targets for the vacuum, so to speak?
Any state that you know, like New York or any state that they're just sure, you know, their polls, they live and die by the polls, okay? They don't make anything. They're not leaders. They don't lead anything. They're finger in the wind, you know, which way is the wind blowing, and you know, let's follow the wind. Okay, so any state that, you know, is firmly in the Obama column, I mean, those things are ripe for us to move in and say, fine, if they don't want it, we'll take it. You know, if we could just turn out the disaffected voters. Remember, the Romney tactic, and you all who've been participating in this Republican process this year know this better than anybody. Romney's tactic is to suppress votes. He wants to keep people from going to vote. They want low turnout, okay? They want people demoralized, discouraged, and staying at home.
Why? I'm not clear on why that would be the Romney tactic. I'm not saying no, but maybe some clarification on why a low turnout benefits Romney, you might say.
Well, they don't want the mass of the American people involved because they can't control that. See, negative ads, political professionals know for a long time. They're meant to suppress the other guy's vote. That's what they're intended to do. They're intended to try and get people to stay home. So you have both parties going back and forth, demoralizing, you know, building more cynicism, reinforcing inertia, not getting the people moving on their own behalf, but they want a passive electorate that they can manipulate and manage. That's what they want, because they can't handle the Romney people just showed it in Tampa. The idea of a wide open process in which the people are in control terrifies them.
Now, hey Paul, you still there? I believe I heard Chris chime in and ask some questions, but I want to give Paul an opportunity to make any comments if he'd like.
No, that's okay. Next person ready for thoughts, I'll shoot along.
Okay, no problem. Okay, I just, you know, well, go ahead, guys. Any more questions? If there's any other elaborations that the two gentlemen would like to make, you know, about the party. And actually, we still have about 25 minutes left. But while I'm on the floor here, for the folks, if they want to continue the conversation, we could go to another member of the Patriots Journalist Network, and also the two gentlemen from the America's Party would like to chime in there. Now, while the name of the Facebook, I hear some really bad stuff in the background. Can someone control the background noise?
Just
I don't know where that's coming from, but I appreciate
just
it.
Just sit on mute if you're not talking.
What's that? Okay.
Find your mute button if you're not talking, yeah.
Well, no, that's okay. It sounds fine now. It looks like it broke up. You know, it stopped. But anyway, what I was going to say is it's a Facebook app, and it's called Newt Now, N-E-W-T-N-O-W, because we were Newt Gingrich supporters on there. But, you know, of course, we're open to, you know, look at other parties like we are tonight. So for the gentleman from the America's Party, if they'd like to check that out, or anyone else who is here, I suggest and that possibly checking that out if you'd like. Mark's live video chat, and they have a chat aspect like this does, and also it's a little different forum than here. It takes a headset and a mic to be able to voice participate there. But if you don't want to do that, there's a chat aspect just like there is here. And it's called Newt Now, and here is the link. And I just offer for the – if it will paste in the chat. And I'll just offer – there it is. If I just offer to the folks there if they'd like to continue the conversation of this tonight, just go there after the show. So go ahead.
Okay. I want to get this question out there before we get off onto another topic. Tom, if somebody's got serious wind going on, can they, like, do something?
I apologize. It's me. I just got done with a 6,000-mile journey. Just got home. And, on the fly to come on here. So
okay.
Anyway, I'm out of the line now. Sorry.
Here's the question. I thought it was somebody else. I'm sorry. But here's the question. It's very interesting listening to you because you're pretty savvy about a lot of different things, and I can see that. You got a lot of experience in the political game. And a lot of things, you know, I was looking at your site as soon as you came on. I jumped on your site, looking at your platform, looking at what you guys stand for, and it sounds like you're very similar to what we experience with Tea Party people. Do you agree with that?
Yes, all the best aspects of the Tea Party are things we've been involved in for, you know, more than two decades. We were Tea Party long before there ever was one.
Sure. And, well, it's constitutional. I mean, it's pretty foundational. So in that aspect of you know, what the Tea Party has done and Sarah's influence across the country and what she's trying to do in state, you know, and local levels and things like that, have you found any commonality in that arena?
Well, the problem isn't with us. It's with Sarah, frankly. she's been propping up the old GOP establishment machine, you know, with her endorsement of John McCain for the U.S. Senate, for example. With her endorsement of Orrin Hatch in this election cycle, things like that.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, she can come home, but we haven't moved. We're standing in the same place, representing the same principles, you know, with the determination. We're only going to support people to be leaders who not only adhere to these principles in their politics, but also realize that it matters who else they support and empower. I mean,
yeah, I agree with what you're saying, because all of us who come from any, whether it was Palin or Gingrich or whatever, have had some serious disappointments through this primary. You know.
Okay, I'm just telling you, I didn't have those disappointments because I already knew who those folks were beforehand, and nothing they did surprised me in the least.
They have
long records of doing exactly the things that have disappointed so many. I mean, Newt Gingrich supporting Didi Scozafava, a couple of years ago, when we had a chance with somebody who wasn't a Republican but was a conservative to pick off that congressional seat up in New York. You know, he threw that away. Things like that. I mean, I could give you 25 years worth of examples. You got to quit trusting in these old leaders. They're now Romney Republicans. I'm sorry. You got to quit trusting them, and you got to, you know, this plumb line of principle has to be established, and you got to start judging these politicians by that plumb line. And if they don't measure up, it's time to get new leaders.
I'm going to interject, and I mean, I always have been and continue to be a Sarah Palin supporter. You know, no one's perfect. No candidate is perfect. I mean, I was a strong Newt Gingrich supporter in the primary this election. I wanted him to run in 2008, and, you know, I support him back in 1994. So I'm, you know, Newt Gingrich is who I wanted to be president. And I just think he's got, you know, the bold ideas, the record, the intelligence to do it. So, and, you know, and then Sarah Palin, as I said, I followed her for some years too. And, you know, I like, of course, there's not going to be everything you're going to like about a candidate. But, you know, I still support her. And of course, you know, when you're in a political system, you do make some friends. And, you know, sometimes you support your friends, you know, in their political endeavors. So, and I think that might have been, you know, on point, though, you know, the endorsements that she did. Now, not maybe necessarily, you know, John McCain, you know. And if you're in a party, you're going to, you know, you're gonna make friends. And you know, about the John McCain, I never was too fond of John McCain. I mean, I respect his service to the country, you know, but beyond that, you know, I really don't like his politics.
Okay, well, everything you're saying has been taken to the nth degree, okay? And you know, they always talk about crony capitalism and all that. I mean, what you're describing, in a sense, taken to its extremes, is crony politics. And you know, this is kind of what's gotten us where we are.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, sorry, I'm not trying to be mean, but this is the way I see it. You know, I judge these people by a core set of principles, and I'm going to be frank with y'all, and some of you are probably going to get mad at me, but Sarah Palin doesn't measure up.
Right.
Her support for a pro-choice for states position on abortion, like Ron Paul and John McCain and Mitt Romney, I'm sorry,
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you on that one. Hold on. Okay, I'm gonna get be finished here. If you're gonna make statements that she's on, you know, state abortion or, you know, abortion rights per state, then in what context are you making that, you know, that statement? You're gonna have to qualify statements like that if you're gonna make those.
Well, there's a vein in the Republican Party that started with Gerald R. Ford, and it was we should leave abortion up to the state's position, and that is Sarah Palin's position. And I vehemently disagree with it, which prevents me from supporting her.
I have never heard Sarah Palin make any statements where she has said that it should be up to each state. I've never. And I've watched and followed Sarah Palin. I've never heard her say that.
I've heard the quote, I've heard it with my own ears, I have it, and if you'll email me, tomofling@gmail.com, I'll go find it and I'll send it to you.
Just the very fact that you mentioned it, I don't want you to do the research for me, because I'm the type of person who rather do the research themselves. So that's something I will look up. I've never found it. And, you know, if it's there, it's there. But, if it's not, it's not. And, of course, you know, I understand that you heard, you know, something from with your own very ears, but I want to hear it by mine as well, because, as all people do, is everything is funneled through our own perceptions. And so, I'll look through it with what, you know, myself and study. But since you mentioned it, it does bear
Here's another thing. Look up Google Sarah Palin Law of the Sea Treaty, for example.
Sarah Palin part, but the other part, what was that?
Google Sarah Palin supports the Law of the Sea Treaty, for example. Okay, that's not negotiable for me. Okay, the Law of the Sea Treaty is the destruction of our national sovereignty. You'll find a JPEG of her letter with her signature as governor of Alaska, fully in support of the Law of the Sea Treaty. Okay, that's not negotiable for me. Okay, our national sovereignty is not negotiable. I'm not supporting people who support the Law of the Sea Treaty. I just won't.
September 13, 2007. Sarah Palin, I've got the PDF. Can I load a PDF in your file, Robert?
In what which file is that?
Well, can I put a PDF in the chat or not?
Just put the link to the PDF, Chris.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I'm sorry. I should know that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, but you're too tired to remember.
As Texan Rex said, we've probably in the last 3 days been doing about 30 hours of radio because we've gone to the different shows.
Now, what was the other thing that Sarah Palin wants states to figure out their abortion issues?
Well, see, there's always been this conflict between the personhood, pro-life, 14th Amendment position, which Ronald Reagan put in the Republican platform in 1984, and the Gerald R. Ford, leave it up to the states position. And I always ask people who take that position, what other of our inalienable rights do you want to leave up to the states? Our right to keep and bear arms, or free speech, what? It's actually a Stephen A. Douglas 1850s position, the position he took on slavery. And it's not the Reagan position, it's not the Lincoln position, it's not the Republican small r position. And that's what she's taken. And that's why she had no problem supporting John McCain, who takes the same position. Mitt Romney, who now is taking that same position, in addition to the fact he thinks our inalienable rights should be left up to a vote of the people, or that the courts make these decisions.
Let me. I don't mean to be slow on you, but let me get the clarity. You said there's two positions on abortion rights. Can you re-clarify that? I want to definitely get that in writing.
One is that the 14th Amendment's guarantee of equal protection for all persons applies to those children in the womb. They are persons. If you go read the Roe v. Wade decision, in it, Blackmun, in the written majority opinion, he admitted that if the fetus, as he called it, is a person, of course, they're protected by the explicit provisions of the 14th Amendment. That is what it says in the GOP plank. Now, they've ruined the plank. It's self-contradictory. They've thrown in every position you can imagine, including support for immoral and constitutional fetal pain legislation. So they've messed it all up, but at its core, the Reagan position that he arrived at after many years of making big mistakes on abortion was a personhood 14th Amendment position. The Ron Paul, Gerald R. Ford, John McCain, Sarah Palin position is we should leave this decision up to the states.
Yeah, I've got a question as to this PDF. Do you have now this is 2000, and I'm going to read up more on this convention, as she calls it. Now, this is in 2005, right?
I'm sorry,
2007, which was 5 years ago. That's what got me. Okay, so this is 2007. Has the so-called, it's some kind of treaty, is that what they're talking about? I think that's not true. Yeah. Now, anyway...
I want to finish my question real quick.
Hold on. Now, this is back in 2007, and I'm going to have to do some more research on this as well. However, has there been any changes to that since 2007? Any additions? And is there any more recent declarations from her about it?
She has not retracted her support.
This is 5 years ago.
She never retracted her support for the Laws of the Sea Treaty. And we have once again defeated the Laws of the Sea Treaty. By the way, our party's nominee 4 years ago was Alan Keyes, who was a critically important individual in the Reagan administration stopping the Law of the Sea Treaty back during the Reagan administration. We've all killed it again because it's so totally unpopular that even this bunch in Washington has had to abandon their attempts to pass it again. It's dead again.
Let's question about the Sea Treaty. So if this has come up before Congress in multiple administrations, each time the bill comes up, there needs to be changes around the bill to requalify it for a floor debate and floor vote, right? So over the course of the years of these administrations, I think it's a valid question to say what has changed in this treaty thing that the UN is trying to ram through us that would cause it to come to the floor again for debate and vote.
To my knowledge, the Law of the Sea Treaty was largely unchanged over the years.
what it does, in effect, is it for the first time gives unelected UN bureaucrats taxing authority, world taxing authority. It gives them control over 7/10 of the Earth's surface, which happens to be the seabeds. And that's basically what it would have done during the Reagan administration. That's what it would have done in the last administration when G.W. Bush started pushing it again and getting the Navy to support it. And that's what it would have done, you know, a couple months ago when it was pushed forward again and then has gone down, thankfully, to defeat again, apparently, in the U.S. Senate.
But this is one of the provisions, I think, that she talks about in part of this letter. And I'm going to read this part, and if people can make comment on that. And then it looks like we only got about 10 minutes left, so we'll have to start wrapping things up. And I appreciate you guys coming in. I definitely would like to have a conversation with you guys again. But it says here, you know, I guess she's concerned whether this is not passed. She states, as a consequence, our rightful claims to hydrocarbons, minerals, and other natural resources could be ignored. In this regard, geologists have prognosticated that billions of barrels of crude oil and vast quantities of natural gas, not to mention various hard rock minerals, might be present in the Arctic. In the absence of affirmative action by the Senate, these resources could be property of nations with less valid claims.
Okay, you want me to address that
portion of it? Yes. Well, yeah, that's what I read. I wanted that to be addressed.
Well, we're the most powerful nation on the planet. We have the most powerful Navy on the planet, okay? Look, we've had administration after administration giving away our rights in the Arctic, including to Russia. We've given them islands that were, you know, were ours. This treaty is not going to help protect our interests. It's handing, you know, our own sovereignty away to unelected UN bureaucrats to make these decisions for us. I'm sorry. I do not believe they're going to make decisions in our interests.
Why did she think that this treaty, in this letter, it's obviously she thinks that it protects those properties, those minerals, those resources. Where's the confusion there?
Real quick, before he answers that, I just want to let 219, your mic is live, just want to let you know. And then after they answer the question, Chris, I'd like for 219 to be able to chime in because we only have about, you know,
well,
6 minutes left.
Let me answer the question very briefly. Okay, my opposition to Sarah Palin has never been personal. I'm not one of those people. I would love to have her and her family for neighbors, and you know, I'm not one who attacks her
personally.
But I'm telling you, the best formulation I can put on what you just said and her words in there is, at best, it's naivete.
Yeah,
I do not trust UN bureaucrats to look out for.
No, I agree. I agree. It's just I'm reading the content of the letter because I read it. You know, as soon as you said it, I went and found it, and I was reading it going, the way she wrote that letter sounds like somebody was protecting our rights to those minerals versus what we know today about the law of the sea. And so
that's why after the change, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, that naivete, as was put, you know, these treaties are huge, right? They're not just like 7 or 8 pages you can get through. And if somebody, if one of her staff was reading that and giving her input and synopsis, and that was a rookie or a young kid who didn't understand what these treaties are, you know, have that thought going in that, okay, what are they taking away because this is an our nation asserting something, right? They're not going to find it, and that could have been very easily done by the advisory from staff of what that thing meant.
Well, that's what was being pushed out of the G.W. Bush administration. That language came from the Bush White House, okay?
Interesting.
Well, that's why we have folks come on, you know. You know, because we can talk about these ideas and, you know, this information. And
well,
that
I can honestly
said,
say,
you want,
sorry,
real
Robbie.
Quick, Chris. I know, I'm sorry, but I just want to give 219 an opportunity to chime in.
219?
Good evening. How you guys doing? I've only caught about the last 20 minutes, so you'll have to excuse me if I'm not up on everything you're talking about. But
that's
I just wanted to drop a line about one thing that has missed the media. Nobody's talking about it. You don't see it on Facebook. I put out some things this evening for the first time. But our dear buddy Mitt Romney has flip-flopped completely on the abortion issue again. He is now, once again, in our face, pro-life. Here is his statement from the Sunday morning talk show when he was asked what his position on abortion was. This is an exact quote. "My position has been clear throughout the campaign. I am in favor of abortion being legal in the case of rape and incest and the health and life of the mother." Now, that means everybody knows that's code. If a 22-year-old girl walks, or a woman walks in and says, you know, this is just causing me such anxiety, I'm not prepared for it, it's affecting my mental health, well, guess what? That's abortion time.
So that's the health of the mother.
This Malthusian monster that every Christian and social conservative has backed, and they have. I mean, you know, they're twisting themselves into pretzel shape out of fear of Obama to explain why this guy is something better. And they are signing on to the very culture of death, the very heart of the things that they deplore. I can't understand it.
Someone mentioned naivete earlier. I think that might have something to do with it.
I don't think it is. I think they know. I think that it is absolutely visceral fear. I think that the conditioners have played on this thing where they're constantly feeding them with the next outrage of Obama.
You've been reading my Facebook posts.
and it is literally the behaviorist pulling the triggers to make these people absolutely turn against their own principles. I'm to the point, and I have been for some time, and it might be anybody that knows me on as Piano Butch on Facebook would know this is not a surprise.
Right.
I'm to the point that I'm calling for either third-party votes or abstaining from voting for president to make a statement in this election, because in the old Soviet Union, my bishop endured the Holodomor. He survived the starvation in Ukraine. And in Ukraine and in Russia, it was a felony not to vote. And you wonder, why would that be? Well, of course, it's because dictators need the appearance of legitimacy. They need to say, look, you know, these people voted for us. You know, we're here legitimately. And we're to the point that the only reason to vote in this election for either one of these two legs of the socialist regime, internationalist regime that has taken hold of our nation, Romney or Obama, just two legs of the same power structure, the only reason to vote for either one is to assent to be governed by a dictator.
Yep.
We're there. And it's not like we're going to be there. We're there. We've been there since 9/14/2001.
Yep.
Bush is the one who took dictatorial control and handed it to Obama, intact in place.
Amen, brother.
So we've got to have a massive do not vote or vote for a third-party candidate. We have to show them, we have to delegitimize. And that's the only voice we have. It's the only choice we have that makes a statement that makes any difference. If not, we're just cattle in the leftist pen or the rightist pen being herded to slavery.
And I hate to do this, folks, but I just got the chime that I've got about a minute left, so I'm going to have to call it at that. And we can definitely continue this discussion at another time, because Bard's Logic Political Talk will be on tomorrow night again at 10 p.m. to midnight, but then starting this coming Sunday, the show will be on from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m., in which we can continue the conversations. And I'd like to thank everyone. I'd like to thank the gentleman from America's Party for coming in tonight, and I hope we get the opportunity to speak again. Thank you, everyone who's called in. Thank you, Chris, Sammy, Tex and Rex, and then Piano Book, and then Paul, and everyone else. If I forgot a name or didn't mention a name, I apologize. And also anyone in the chat and people listening on the archive, thank you very much for coming. And if you could still have some time for some talk, go to Mark Prasik's show on Newt Now. Just go to the Facebook app. Not the app, go to the Facebook search engine, put in Newt Now. It has one word, N-E-W-T, and N-E-W-T-N-O-W. And thank you very much, and have a good night, and take care.
Thanks, Rob.
Thank you. And for those on the line, I will finish with the ending song.